and welcome to the Blind Handyman Show, number 80, and this is May 17th, the year 2004, recorded at the Little Ranch House on Southwood Drive here in Lufkin, Texas. Good to have you with us. For the next hour, we are going to be talking about building, repairing, and maintaining, all designed, of course, with the blind in mind. Here are the hosts for the show. Ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you at this time, Don Shaw.
Well, Mr. Tom, and guess what? Besides talking about all that building and maintaining, we're going to be talking about cooking today.
That's what I understand.
Isn't that a deal?
Now, you folks told me that when I came in the door. So, okay. Don Patterson, hi.
Yes, sir. I am a survivor of the Binion family reunion. 35 people at my house Saturday night.
Oh, wow.
Never again. Never again. Talk about cooking.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Dale Campbell's in the building. Well, he's really not in the building. He's on the phone. Hi, Dale.
Hey, how are you guys doing today?
Oh, doing wonderful. And
fantastic.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, I'm kind of in between, aren't I? I'm in, but I'm not in.
Well, kind of, yeah. And if you would like, I would give you the privilege of introducing the creative producer of the Blind Handyman Show. Dale, go for it.
Ladies and gentlemen, I give you, without further ado, the creator, Bill Parr.
Fantastic.
Marvelous.
It's good to be here, friends and neighbors. We got a house full today. Cooking in the dark is what we're going to do. And I guess we're about to hit 90 for the first time, Dale.
Yeah. I walked Skylar out to the bus stop this morning. I thought, good night. So much for spring. It's summertime.
So much for spring and all that rain, because it's summertime is here.
In fact, I heard the mosquito truck come through the neighborhood last night.
We need it.
It's that time of year again.
That's a sign.
I noticed it came through my neighborhood, and it dropped some off.
Yeah, I think the mosquitoes do that, too. They follow those things.
Yeah,
they love those.
They love the stuff.
They
yeah.
to kill them. I think they can grow.
I think it might. Well, we have some... We have some cooking in the dark email that our friend Thomas Houston has brought with us. And I guess we'll get into that, Tommy.
Well, okay. All right. We'll get right into it. It says, hi, everyone. I am new to the list. My name, and I'm going to spell this, Phil, because this name is T-Z-I-V-I-A-H. And I'm from Mexico City, believe it or not. I'm very unskilled in cooking, but want to learn. I'm one of those who is almost learning to boil water by this. By this means, I also want to ask, how do you folks do scrambled eggs? Now, that's a good question.
It is.
That's a good question.
How do you folks do scrambled eggs?
Guy's totally blind, right?
Yeah, I believe so.
Okay.
Yeah,
well,
I'm an international member.
Who wants to go first, Dale? You want to take this first?
Well, I'll tell you the way I do it. I take three eggs, crack them in a bowl, and get the whisk out and just beat the heck out of them.
Yep.
And then when I think they're done, I whip them a little bit more, and I've already got a pan preheated with a little slab of butter in it, melted around, and I just dump them in and let them cook for 3 or 4 minutes, and then I start kind of flopping them and flipping them all around and scrambling them up.
And you do your moving around in the skillet with a spoon or with a what?
I use either a spatula or a wooden spoon. Normally, I would use a spatula.
To just
kind of cut it up a little bit and kind of flip it around a little bit easier than I can with a spoon.
Yeah,
I can kind of feel through the spatula, make sure I'm getting, feel the weight of the egg and know how much of the egg I'm kind of flipping and moving around.
That's true with a flat spatula. I really couldn't add much to that. I would say that would, of course, now you can do scrambled eggs that once you've beaten them, you can do them in the microwave. As long as you break the yolks, you can do them. If you don't break the yolk, they'll explode in the microwave.
No, you want to pour, we did some experimenting on the list involving that, and... what we found is you can go about a minute, a little over a minute before the yolk explodes.
in an egg.
One member wrote in and said her daughter, when she was 6 years old, had put the egg in the... They had been studying the chickens and such and hatching eggs in school, and she put the egg in the microwave to help it hatch faster.
Uh-huh.
And also on the scrambled egg, just one thing, I know that, totally blind people use their hands and their fingers, and this is something that you could actually kind of touch the eggs and not burn yourself. You don't want to touch the skillet, but you
can,
and you can feel the moisture, depending on if you like them dry or a little moist. I mean, you can kind of get an idea by just touching the top part of the, after you flipped them a time or two or scrambled them up, and if
sure can. And, of course, you can also, start off, if you want to, in your skillet with a little diced up onion and some garlic.
Right.
And
I always
a little bit and then toss the eggs in on top, add a little milk.
Yeah.
I put a little milk in mine because my mama did.
That's one of the big debates, Pat, was do you put milk in them or not? And it all depended on
how your mama cooked them.
Well, I think a little bit, don't you? I mean, that, doesn't that make them fluffier?
Yeah. Now, my grandma, she did that. You know, she put a little milk in them, and, you know, you just can't beat grandma's scrambled eggs.
That's right.
That's right.
Because I think something about not having to be standing there at the stove cooking them, too, where it might have been all that bacon grease she used, too.
But I wouldn't have much to add to that. But as long as we're on the subject of eggs, one of the detrimental things I figured out several years ago is that if you are wanting breakfast and you cooked your bacon, however you cook it in the microwave or on the, in the oven, and you want some fried eggs, a couple eggs, just break them, have a skillet hot and put a little butter in it like you're going to scramble eggs. Break the eggs in the skillet. Do you want three eggs or two eggs, however many you want, don't worry about them. Just break them in the skillet and put a lid on them and leave them from 4 to 5 minutes, depending on how hard you want them. When you take that lid off and take your spatula, you've got nice fried eggs.
Yeah, and you know, cooking with the skillet on top of the pan, I mean, or well, the lid on top of the skillet, cart before the horse.
Yeah.
I mean, it really aids in helping to cook meats and, and eggs and things like that. I mean, you can do bacon, lay it in there and cook it that way without even having to take it out and flip it over.
That's right. If you've got a skillet and you just lay your bacon in there and cook it, you don't have to flip it up to do anything. Now, we know a guy that said, by God, I've gone blind, but I can still cook bacon. Damn near set his house on fire, didn't he? That would be you, Dale. Yeah. Remember that?
Yeah, that's right.
What are they doing at your house?
Oh, I'm flattening out. We're doing chicken cordon bleu today.
So you're pounding on chicken right
and
now.
And I'm flattening out some of these breasts that got a little smart alecky with me, and we're going to flatten these dudes out to a quarter inch.
So you got your little hammer there.
Got my little mallet going. Well, nice little mallet. It's got a nice big, you know, nice heavy flat side on one side of it, and the other face has got kind of the teeth on it, you know, if you want to tenderize meat or something.
Well, you want to start recipes and read some of this email in a minute?
We can do that if you all want. Email, we can kind of use that as a filler as we go along.
We'll do that, sir.
Because what we've got, I'll tell you what we're doing today, and y'all hold your pinkies in the air, we're doing chicken cordon bleu.
Well, I love it.
We're doing stuffed mushrooms.
All right.
Fabulous.
We're also doing a great, great vegetable casserole that is so simple and so delicious. And then for dessert, we're doing apple crisp.
Hey.
All right.
Very good.
And these are very easy, very simple recipes. The chicken cordon bleu came in from Armando up in Canada. And I guess we're kind of having an international show today, aren't we?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's actually a diabetic-friendly recipe. So that makes it really nice. And really all we're doing, take a chicken breast, boneless and skinless, pound it to kind of flatten it to where it's about a quarter inch thick. And then what we're going to do is take a piece of ham that you can get at the deli at your local grocery store and a piece of mozzarella cheese. Lay the ham on top of the chicken breast and then the mozzarella cheese. Take that and just roll it up. After we roll it up, we're going to dip it in some egg and milk and then dip it in some breadcrumbs and put it on a baking sheet and bake it for about 45 minutes.
Now, how are you going to dip it in this breadcrumbs and egg stuff? With your hands? Just put it down in there?
Yeah, just going to use our hands.
Yes, that's the easiest
way. Eggs I've got over here in a bowl. We're going to add just about two eggs and about a quarter cup of milk.
Hey,
what
Dale.
What you're going to do is put your breadcrumbs out on a dinner plate or a pie pan works great because it gives you a little bit of area to work, kind of a flatter surface. But, you know, a pie plate is really a little bit better because it does...
Because it's got those high sides,
You don't get crumbs all over the plate.
Go ahead,
Dale,
Don.
Excuse me, Don. Go ahead.
No, I just got a quick question here. Could you not take, like, the chicken breast and the ingredients there, all that, and put them, like, in a good Ziploc freezer bag, all the ingredients together, and then pound it with the hammer and mix all that stuff together all at one time?
Yeah, you could. You kind of have a chicken cordon bleu casserole, I guess, something like that. The whole idea of getting the chicken breast, of kind of pounding it out, is when you put the ham and the cheese in the middle of it and you roll it up, you want the chicken to be a little bit thinner so it'll reduce the baking time.
So, okay. Dale, are you using, could one use like the frozen chicken breast from Sam's
and
then let them thaw?
What I'm using.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah, we buy them, they come in like a 4-pound
bag.
Oh,
yeah, humongous sack full of them, yeah.
Yeah, and we just buy them and, you know, take them out, thaw them out, and then flatten them and stack them up, and away we go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well, carry on, sir.
All right. So I tell you, let me change speeds here real fast. I've got the fixings for the mushroom stuffing in the skillet here going. And what I did to fix this stuff is I took a pound of sausage of, you know, Jimmy Dean hot.
Oh, yeah.
and just kind of fried it up in the skillet, mainly to get the drippings. I took this, after it was all browned or fried up, I took the sausage out, and we'll have that for breakfast tomorrow.
Oh, you wanted the grease?
Yeah, I wanted the grease. And what I added to the grease was half of a white onion, diced up nice and small. I also tossed in there the mushroom stem that I diced up. And then I also added 2 cups of salad shrimp. Now, the salad shrimp I picked up in the seafood department of the grocery store.
Oh, yeah.
They're frozen, and they come in a 4-ounce, an 8-ounce, a 16-ounce. They just come in different size bags. But the salad shrimp are actually like what you would find on your salad. They're popcorn shrimp, if you will, about that size. So I've got all these in the bacon grease right now sauteing. And what I'm getting ready to do, since they are coming out really nicely here, we've kind of had those on since we came on the air.
Yes.
To this, I'm going to add some cornbread stuffing.
As in stovetop stuffing?
It's actually just cornbread stuffing, Pepperidge Farm cornbread stuffing.
Okay, I've seen it. It comes in a bag of it.
It's what you would buy or what you would use to make, you know, stuffing at Thanksgiving.
I got your point. Yeah.
I'm going to dump that in.
Sounds good.
It does.
And then to that, we will add...
Let's order a pizza!
Yeah. Depending on the moisture and the consistency of this, once we put it in, then we will add to that some chicken broth. I was trying to find vegetable broth, but they were either out of it or my folks assisting me at the grocery store, they just couldn't track it down.
Yeah,
couldn't find it.
So what I'll do when I add the stuffing mix here... I normally add it 1 cup at a time, and then I've turned the heat off on the skillet. I am using a cast iron skillet, so it'll get nice even heat. I am using those new kitchen grips, one of those panhandle sleeves on it, to keep that baby from, I can grab the handle and not get burnt.
All right.
Yeah.
And Mr. Shaw, your kitchen grips will be on the way Wednesday.
Great.
According to the tracking information, they're coming in.
Very good.
All the thing you gained there by doing these chicken cordon bleus that are locale, you lost with your bacon, with your sausage grease there.
Yeah. Candace was kind of mad at me.
Oh, well.
The other night.
That's the way it is, you know.
You got to give and take, I think.
Sounds good to me.
Sounds good to me.
Now you can take these up on level two, the stuffed mushrooms, if you want. The mushrooms that I bought, they're probably a good 3-inch diameter. They're nice, big, white mushrooms. Nice, deep cavities for stuffing.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Okay, I've added 1.5 cups of breadcrumbs to this. It's getting kind of moist. It's still moist, but it's drying out just a tad. So what I'm going to do is add just a little bit of chicken broth to it to moisten it up just a tad, and a little more breadcrumbs, so that we get enough to make sure we stuff these 8 mushrooms with them.
And you're going to end up baking this concoction,
yes,
right?
Sure am. Sure
in this
am.
Iron in this iron skillet, like cornbread or what?
Yeah. Well, what I'll do is after I get them stuffed, I'm making them in the iron skillet here, just because I like cooking in it a lot better than the other skillets. It's easier to clean up.
Well, and another thing about it stays where you put it.
Exactly.
You know, it doesn't scoot around on the stove.
All over the burner.
It doesn't move around on the stove.
That's right.
And what I'll do too is we had a recipe come through the list called mushroom bombs, which you take, you know, white mushrooms, you take a piece of bacon, wrap them around the mushroom, toothpick them in place, and then cook them on your grill.
Oh, yeah.
You flip them over, you know, let them cook each side 3 or 4 minutes, flip them over, and keep flipping them back and forth until the bacon is done. But they sounded really good.
That does sound good.
That's the next step we're going to do. After we stuff them, we're going to wrap bacon around them.
All right, so, Dale, I hate to be ignorant about this, but earlier you said mushroom stems.
The mushrooms came, they were whole mushrooms.
Okay.
So what I did was I removed the stems.
I got you.
And then used those. Actually, I just tossed them in the old food processor along with the onions.
Oh, okay.
And chopped them all up until they were nice and fine.
Okay, I was confused. I'm not a mushroom connoisseur.
Oh, no problem. I'm glad you asked, because I'm sure there were some other folks out there wondering the same thing. Once those are all done, okay, I'm adding a little chicken broth, about half of the can of chicken broth. And then we'll stir that up a little bit.
Mm.
Check the moisture level. Add some more stuffing mix to it.
What is that?
Got a problem here.
And that is it, y'all. Very simple to make, very easy. I mean, you can put pretty much, I think like we learned on the Thanksgiving show, when you make stuffing, you can put almost anything in it you want. Apples, walnuts, crab meat, whatever you have available. Lobster meat if you have it. Okay, this is coming out nice. Added another cup of stuffing mix to this. What I'll end up doing here, y'all, is go ahead and start putting them in the top of the head.
We've got a dial tone now, but it's
we're going to bake them at 350 for about 25 minutes. And we'll take them out and add a slice of mozzarella cheese over the top of them. And then let them go again for about another 5 or 6 minutes just to let that cheese melt over the top of them. And they're ready to go.
Let's do a break, Dale, and we'll fix the phone problem. We're having a little phone noise, but it's all right. And, hell, we're just going to order a pizza.
Hey, that sounds like a
You've got us all
pepperoni
hungry.
Pepperoni for me, please.
Pepperoni for you. I don't know what else to do. We don't have any that good food you're cooking.
Really?
Back with more Dale Campbell in our show called Cooking in the Dark on the Blind Handy Man in just a minute. The Blind Handyman Show is blind people have as many plumbing problems and household repairs to do as sighted people do, but we can't do them exactly the same way sighted people do, so we need some input from other blind people to find out how they do household repairs, and so we formed this, started this Blind Handyman, and we got a list going. And as far as Blind Like Me is concerned, we want to use it as an educational tool. As I remember being a young adult, a young person, and thinking, well, how am I going to, I want a nice house and kids and a good job, but how am I going to do that? And I had just had no idea. And I think the Blind Like Me show demonstrates the fact that it can be done even if you are blind. That's not a handicap. It can be done.
If you would like to be a guest on either show, or you can suggest someone as a guest, email us at blindhandyman@hotmail.com or blindlikeme@txucom.net.
Well, so far, it's been a labor of love. We are. Excuse me. We are.
We are.
I thought we weren't there for a minute. It scared me. I hope the phone is settled down. I don't know what the problem was there. Anyway, Dale, are you still here?
I'm with y'all. Still, I'm with y'all.
We finally got the phone, I think, kind of settled down, so we can get back to Cooking in the Dark with Dale Campbell, Don Shaw, Don Patterson, Tom Houston, and I'm Phil Parr. Go ahead, sir.
All righty. We are, what I'm doing right now is finishing wrapping up the chicken cordon bleu. We've got the stuffing and the mushrooms done. They're getting ready to be baked.
For
and they take about 25 or 30 minutes. So I'm going to wait and put those in a little bit towards the end of the chicken. The chicken is going to take about 45 minutes to an hour.
And you bake this just in an open container, this chicken?
Yeah, just the chicken in an open, just in a casserole dish or a baking pan, whatever you have that's open. Yeah. It doesn't need to be covered.
Yeah, one of those one of those big long glass casserole dishes.
Yeah,
would be fine,
yeah, that's what we've got. You're peeking in on us, Phil.
I may be. Could be. I wish I was there.
Yeah, me too. We'd definitely be. I don't know. We'd not get to a cooking show if you were here.
That's true.
You'd have to be tipping a few of them.
That is true. Oh,
cool.
Now, my reputation, Dale.
Yeah.
That's right. You don't do that anymore, do you?
Oh, I do it old. I don't do it any less either.
That's right. All right. So let's see here, fellas. Let's move on along to I'm going to go ahead and start getting the casserole ready.
All right.
That will take the longest to bake. It takes just about 50 minutes.
All right.
This casserole was so easy, but I learned my lesson the first time I made it. What it is one bag of frozen broccoli,
okay,
florets thawed, a bag of frozen carrot slices, of course thawed, and one bag of cauliflower. I'm sitting here looking for my knife and trying to talk so I can cut these bags open.
All right.
What we want to do is just dump all these in a bowl and mix them up together.
Cauliflower,
so a nice little variety in here.
Cauliflower, broccoli, and what? Carrots?
Broccoli, cauliflower, and carrots.
And carrots.
Yeah.
All mixed together.
All mixed together. Now, the last time I made this, I had some leftover mushroom slices that I tossed in here.
That'd work.
Once we get these all in, I'm going to just kind of mix the veggies together with my hands. These are one-pound bags also. And this recipe is very easy, very simple. You can cut it if you need to make it if you're just one or two people. There's no sense making this whole big amount. It will keep. It's great for leftovers, though. If you're one of those folks that like to cook one time a week or once every few days and eat leftovers, man, have at it.
Yeah, this would make a good bit.
I was going to say, it's going to make a lot of stuff there. Yeah.
Yeah, it makes it fills up a casserole dish.
So the guys
actually a cake pan is what I use to cook it in. But
guys would be eating on this.
I tried to mix all these up in the cake pan, and it was so full, I ended up kind of spilling some out.
Yep.
So I kind of learned my lesson for that.
Yeah, maybe.
Okay, after I get these veggies, what we want to do is add about 10 ounces of grated cheese. And the cheese can be any flavor you want. What I've got is sharp cheddar. That's kind of one of my favorites. Let me get
that
grated up real quick
here. Now, this would work good with his bag deal, where you just put everything in a bag and shake it up.
Yeah, this would be great in a big bag.
Yeah.
Big Ziploc, put it all in, flop it all around, and then pour it on out.
Right.
Being that these are 1 pound bags, you might want to make sure you get a big Ziploc.
Yeah, it'd take the large size.
Yeah, or a great big salad bowl that you've got a lid for, a big Tupperware bowl like you've got, Shaw, would be great.
Oh, yeah, that's something like that'd be great for that.
Yeah,
too.
Yeah, that'd be perfect for this.
It would.
That's what you need. In fact, that's what I'm using, a great big old big stainless steel bowl here.
Yeah.
Just because sometimes a normal little bowl won't cut it.
Yeah, lots of ingredients there. Good blind weekend food there now. We need a lot for that.
The other thing is it's so simple. That's what I like about it.
Well, do you think these guys would come down from Dallas and eat broccoli and carrots at my house?
Well, that's a thought.
No, they want hamburgers and steaks and stuff like that.
I'd be saying, where's the beef?
Roast.
About it, John B.
Roast.
Well, I like vegetables. Don't get me wrong.
Put some barbecue sauce on it. They probably have at it.
They probably would. I can just hear Bennett, can't you?
You know, they're from Dallas anyway, though. You know, I heard Dallas folks eat anything anyhow.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
I guess I can say that being down here in Houston. You
can say that.
Oh, yeah.
They're our number one rival, but boy, let somebody insult us Texans, then they're on our side.
That's true.
You got it.
All right. I'm going to get some, we're going to put some vegetable spray in this casserole, or in this cake pan, actually. It's not a casserole dish. Spray it down, and we'll be looking good.
All right.
Looking good. You want to read email while you're kind of working there a little bit, Tommy?
Well, I have about nine ways or nine little steps in seasoning your cast iron skillet.
Let's get into that.
And number one is wash new cookware with a hot soapy water and a stiff brush. With hot soapy water and a stiff brush.
All right.
And two, rinse and dry completely. Number three, you apply a thin coat of melted vegetable shortening, for example, Crisco, to the entire surface, including lid if applicable, both inside and out. You line the lower oven rack with aluminum foil to catch any drippings and preheat oven to 350 degrees Fahrenheit.
Uh-huh.
Five, you place cookware upside down on the upper oven rack and bake for 1 hour. Okay, and then number six, you turn oven off and let the cookware cool before removing from the oven. Then number seven, store in a cool, dry place. If you have a lid for your utensil, place a folded paper towel between the lid and the utensil to allow air to circulate. Number eight, never wash in dishwasher. Number nine, if your utensil develops a metallic smell or taste or shows signs of rust, never fear. Wash with soap and hot water and scour off rust and re-season. And then after you use it, you want to clean using a stiff brush and hot water only. Do not wash in dishwasher. Tile dry immediately and apply a light coating of vegetable oil to cookware while it's still warm. And that's it.
All right.
We did that one blind weekend, Phil.
With my
remember?
Big pot, yeah.
Yeah, the, the potato, big giant cast iron pan. So.
And it has served us well.
Yes.
I want a cast iron skillet with Teflon on it. That's what I want.
Really?
So it won't move around on the burner, but it's just, I just hate everything I've ever cooked in a cast iron skillet. I stick. I just can't. Luann loves them. She's got four or five of them.
I have my mom's. We're talking 50-year-old, 60-year-old skillets, and I was just going to comment on one thing. I agree with their whole thing there, but mine are so old and well-seasoned, I put them in the dishwasher and then re-grease them and never had a problem. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I tell you, boy, there's nothing. Good old cast iron skillet, you just can't beat it, especially if you got some jalapeno cornbread coming.
I have one that's square, a cast iron skillet that's square, and that's that makes the best cornbread.
I bet.
And then I've got one that's almost like a Dutch oven. It's about 4 inches deep, and they have the lid to that. It's not. I don't think it's a Dutch. It didn't start out to be a Dutch oven, but and then, like I say, then we have three or four. But I kind of agree with Phil on one thing. I like Teflon too.
Yes.
Yeah. You.
Teflon makes you lazy, doesn't it?
Yeah, well, it really makes you lazy,
but it's kind of like having a microwave in the kitchen.
But Luann cooks
without that thing.
Luann cooks in cast iron all the time and never sticks anything.
Oh, do it. Yeah, I could. You can't make hash brown potatoes any other way, except a cast iron skillet. You know, heated up
a
grill.
That might be having two X chromosomes.
You think so? I didn't know you knew that about her. That's kind of strange.
An X and Y chromosome, man. Stuff sticks all over the place when I cook, too, dadgummit.
It does for me. I'm cast iron. If I'm cooking breakfast, I have to ask her which skillet you want to use. But me, there's no question. I'm using a Teflon.
Right.
Yeah, that's right.
All right. Done is I've dumped the broccoli and the cauliflower and the carrot, the casserole, into the cake pan. And over the top of that, I poured one can of chicken broth.
Okay.
The chicken broth was like a 14 or a 14.5 ounce can. And I just poured it all over the top and all over it and covered the casserole with foil. And we're going to bake it at 350 for just about 45 to 50 minutes or until the vegetables start to get tender.
Mm-hmm.
With this dish, you really can't overcook it, so to speak. But when the vegetables start to get tender, you want to take them out. If you like your vegetables a little crispier, of course, then go ahead and take it out a little bit ahead of time. Oh, excuse me. Okay, so we're going to be heading back towards the chicken cordon bleu.
You have
we'll
got
get it all finished up.
They're not in the oven yet.
Not yet. Hey, and our assistant just walked in.
Skyler.
Skyler's home from school. Monday left in this school year, y'all.
One more.
And
that's it. Candace and Skyler are both out for the summer, right?
Yeah.
Tell my wife about that.
They get out on the 29th, I think it is, and then on the 28th, whatever that Friday is, the next day Skyler takes off to Kansas City for 2 weeks with my dad, and Candace and I take off to St. Croix for 2 weeks.
Yeah, tell that one more Monday to my wife, Dale. She's retiring after 34 years of school teaching.
Wow, that is awesome.
Yeah, she's counting the days.
She's ready, huh?
Yeah, 32 years in Lufkin, 2 years in Houston School District.
Wow. Was she an HISD down here?
For early on, right after she married. And then
that takes somebody special to be in the school district.
Yeah, it really does. Well, they pay a lot more money. You know, a lot of our teachers are leaving here, going down there, because they get almost an instant $10,000 raise.
Holy cow.
Wow.
that's a good reason to head on out. Heck, I mean, if you get a school up on the north side of Houston, you know, you're close enough that you could still stay there in Lufkin and drive.
You almost could, couldn't you? That'd be be treacherous.
Sure. All right, what I'm doing now is beating up the eggs here for the mixture. I've added the milk to it, about a quarter cup of milk with these two eggs. And this mixture really doesn't matter, because we're not going to be cooking it or baking it or anything. This is basically just to help coat the egg or the chicken and make the breadcrumbs and stuff stick to them.
Yeah.
So I've got the chicken breast all pounded flat. I've laid out the ham and the cheese. And when I got this ham and cheese, I got it at the deli, and I had them slice it for me on what's called a number two. So it's not paper thin. It's not real thick. I mean, it's probably about an eighth of an inch thick, but it's a nice piece of ham and a nice piece of cheese.
What kind of cheese?
Mozzarella.
Mozzarella cheese.
Now, you can use mozzarella. You can use provolone.
Yeah.
You can really use any type that you would like if you have a certain preference.
Yeah.
But I guess mozzarella or provolone would be the best way.
So you roll these up and put toothpicks in them or what?
Yeah, roll them up, and if you need to, stick a toothpick in them to hold them in shape.
Yeah.
Then after that, what you want to do is put your breadcrumbs out on a pie pan or
a better,
plate.
Would be better, yeah. Pie pan would be better.
And roll the chicken cordon bleu, or the chicken, in the crumbs first, then dip them in the egg mixture and get them coated, and then back in the breadcrumbs, and that'll help everything really stick well, and then place them on a foil baking sheet. And the reason I suggest putting foil down, what I've got is a shallow, like a brownie sheet that I'm going to use, so it's got about a 1-inch raised side on it. And take olive oil and just coat the foil with some olive oil. It doesn't take much, but you just want to make sure you get it coated. And that'll help brown the bottom side of the chicken while it bakes in the oven.
Why do you do foil? Why don't you just do the cookie sheet? Because it's so hard
to
clean up.
It's a lot easier to clean up after.
So hard to clean up
the
cookie sheet.
So, Dale, olive oil, or do you have anything against the aerosol, you know, the pan?
Actually, the recipe kind of calls for olive oil in this case, or it doesn't even necessarily be olive oil. It could be vegetable oil.
Okay.
But you're not really, your purpose of this is to get a little bit of an oil base underneath that will heat up and kind of help fry the underside.
Okay.
But olive oil is kind of good for you, isn't it? I mean,
olive oil is probably one of the better oils for you, yeah.
So if you're going to try to cook the bottom, then you're not going to flip these. You're not going to turn these over.
Right, this will alleviate you having to come and flip them.
I got you.
If you used to use like a vegetable spray, that's primarily to kind of help keep stuff from sticking to it.
Right.
As opposed to this will put a little bit more oil on it than what you would with just a spray.
Yeah.
So it'll help them cook a little bit. So that'll work out really well. And these do come out, man, delicious.
I bet.
You just need to make sure they're cooked through. And to do that, I mean, of course, it won't help to look at the meat. But you can kind of tell when you stick a fork in chicken if it's done or not because of the way that the fork slides into the meat.
You know, someday they're going to give us a thermometer, a cooking thermometer that talks. I don't know why they haven't yet. I don't know why.
You know, I found one. They're pretty proud of it.
Yeah, I bet they
Well, I've bought a couple.
It's almost $150, but it'll give you a temperature up to, I think, 235 degrees.
Okay, but now does it give you steak?
No, it doesn't give you like that, you know, that fork one that's out there.
I've got
you
one.
Stick in your
I don't like
and it.
It
tells you medium rare, or whatever.
Yeah, that's not good.
It works about as well as I could by touching it and telling you what the temperature is.
That's about right. But you've got one that'll do up to how high?
This one will go up to, I believe, 230 degrees.
That's not enough. Is it?
I forget what the low end is. It's under zero. The low side is.
But it's 230 degrees.
100 to 230 degrees.
That's not enough. Uh-huh. That's not hot enough.
For meats and things, it's pretty. Yeah, it's okay. Because meats usually get up to, you know, poultry and chicken and stuff up to about 185 degrees or so internal temperature.
Okay. Can you get one at Blind at your place?
Order.
Go ahead and order me one.
And that's something we're revamping. Is I just got a contract with Progressive Kitchen Appliances and with Aroma stuff, so we're going to be getting crock pots and food dehydrators and deep fryers and all kinds of spatulas and kitchen gadgets and things up on the website.
Well, go ahead and order me this thermometer.
Okay.
And
I'll get one of those
and let me know.
For you.
All right.
And hopefully, I hope it works. It's got to work better than that crazy old fork thing.
It's got to work better than that fork thing. I didn't like that at all. I've never used that. I used it once, and it just doesn't.
I'll tell you, a couple weekends ago, we went on a boat ride over to Lake Charles.
I heard about that.
And I pulled the old smoker out and was going to smoke two turkeys up, plugged it all in, left, walked Skyler out, about an hour later to go to the bus stop, and, man, no smoke coming out. What's going on? The crazy burner, the heating element, the electric smoker, the burner finally gave up the ghost.
Yeah,
I was like, oh man, what am I going to do? I've got 35 pounds of turkey here that needs
to be. You put them in the oven. It's about all you can do. You put them in the oven.
Called father-in-law, and Don came and bailed me out. He came cruising up on his motorcycle with a new smoker on the back end. So some assembly required, but we got that dude put together, and away we went. So actually, a new smoker was $60, and the new heating element by itself was 35. So we just went ahead and got the new smoker.
Yeah.
That's not a bad price for that electric smoker.
No, made by Brinkman. It's bright orange, so I knew the turkeys were going to taste better because that other one was old black one, So this is bright orange. They got to taste better.
Yeah, I hear you.
But anyway, that was neither here nor there.
Smart-ass blind guys.
We had a good trip.
Somebody had to tell him it was bright orange. He didn't know that.
No, he felt of it and told he could feel of it and say.
Anyway, that's good.
Bump into it now,
They won't fall over it. So you did turkies and took them on the boat for these
guys. Yeah, we did turkeys and then brought them in, and I guess we were up till about 1 o'clock. We were leaving the next day at 9, but we were up till about 1 stripping them off the bone.
And I have not done a turkey in a long time.
It was great. I shot it up. We found some marinade with called Cajun butter.
Oh, man, the
yeah.
It was delicious.
We bought some of that before, and it's good stuff.
It is excellent. Now, I've used it before in brisket, too. Even though it was made for a turkey, I've shot it up in brisket as well.
Good on
and, in
brisket.
Fact, that's something that the next thing we're making today, y'all, is an apple crisp. And after I peeled the apple, which, boy, that's a thankless task.
Yeah.
That's like Tom Sawyer painting that fence out in front of
I tell you what, let's do. We're at second break time. Let's take that, and we'll get into... We'll get into apple peeling in just a minute.
All right.
More Cooking in the Dark with Dale Campbell. Hang on.
Houston Radio Reading Service, from the In Touch Radio Reading Service, and on radio reading services all across the nation, and of course at acdradio.org. If your radio reading service is not airing Blind Like Me and The Blind Handyman, let them know both shows are available free of charge. Contact us at blindlikeme@txucom.net or call 936-634-9500. That's The Blind Handyman and Blind Like Me. At new times, in new places. Help us spread the word to blind people all around the world. Blind Like Me and The Blind Handyman. Available free to qualified blind people and their sight-dependent friends.
Well, the whole point of the Blind Handyman Show is blind people have as many plumbing problems and household repairs to do as sighted people do, but we can't do them exactly the same way sighted people do. So we need some input from other blind people to find out how they do household repairs. So we formed this Blind Handyman, and we got a list going. And as far as Blind Like Me is concerned, we want to use it as an educational tool. As I remember being a young adult, a young person, and thinking, well, how am I going to, I want a nice house and kids and a good job, but how am I going to do that? And I had just had no idea. And I think the Blind Like Me show demonstrates the fact that it can be done even if you are blind. That's not a handicap. It can be done.
If you would like to be a guest on either show, or you can suggest someone as a guest, email us at blindhandyman@hotmail.com or blindlikeme@txucom.net.
Well, so far, it's been a labor of love. Well, that's nice piano music welcomes you back to the third half of our Blind Handyman Show, brought to you by Little Crackers with white stuff in the middle. Yes, friends.
I like that piano.
I do, too. We're doing Cooking in the Dark this afternoon. Can you believe this is show number 80, Dale? It's amazing, isn't it? We've done 80 Blind Like Me shows. Blind Handyman Show.
I remember way back when you guys first got started.
Yeah, it's amazing. Who'd have thought we'd all still be friends?
Who would have thought we ever were?
That's what I'm amazed by.
Really? I don't think we fooled anyone.
Well, we
Chad, it's a wonder none of y'all are out there buried in the ball field, you know?
Yeah, well, we had a deal one time that we put up $100 a piece, and the one that dies last gets the money. We couldn't get anybody to put up there.
No, we have these tight asses from Dallas that won't come across.
Put up
and one kind of conservative guy right here in Lufkin.
That's right. You got it.
That wouldn't cough up the change.
Wouldn't cough up the price of an electric smoker.
Change, huh?
Yeah.
You got to pay its way now.
Wouldn't come up with the price of an electric smoker.
That's right.
Win the pot.
All right, y'all.
They're trying to let Frankie Brown in. Anyway, go ahead, sir.
We're right in the midst of doing this Apple Crisp, and this is, I think, Penny Reeder sent this in. If she didn't, I apologize to who did, because I sure don't remember. We get so many recipes on that cooking list every day. But this is an easy Apple Crisp. All it is about five or six either Jonathan or Granny's, you know, apples.
Yeah.
You want to peel them and slice them, of course, core them. And to do that, I've kind of cheated. I've taken, well, not cheated, but I've taken and peeled them.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm taking this apple core slicer. It's just a flat device that you just push right through the middle of the apple.
Really?
And what it does, the way you line it up, it's got a hole in the middle. It'll cut the core out.
Uh-huh.
So I stick my finger in that hole of this device, find the center, you know, where the stem is of the apple, line it up, and then you just simply push it straight down through the apple.
I never saw one in my life.
It is wonderful.
How much apple do you lose?
It takes the apple down to 8 pieces and cuts a beautiful center core right out of it as well.
I need one.
One swoop, you slice and core your apple.
That's pretty cool.
It is.
It's great. And what I've done, what I was going to say before, was I saved all the peels and the cores from these apples, put them in a bag, and then I froze them. And what I'll do is the next time I smoke something, I'll take them out and use them as wood chips.
That's a good thought.
Put them in the bottom of the smoker and use them to smoke off of.
That's a good thought. Well, that works pretty good, huh?
Yeah, sure does. And I've heard tell, too, of folks that use, like, fresh pineapple. They'll save the pineapple as well. You know, the husk and the shell or the peel or whatever you want to call it on the pineapple, and use it, let it dry and smoke it, use it to smoke it.
Now, I've done that with onions, with old onions or those onion skins are the part of green onions that you can't eat, and throw them in the fire, and they, I don't know if they add anything to the taste of the meat, but they sure make it smell good.
They really do.
Make your taste buds dance, that's for sure.
Yeah, no kidding.
Okay. To finish this apple crisp off, what I've done is I've put it in a glass casserole.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, it's a 10 by 13 cake pan.
Yeah.
And I sprayed it down with some vegetable spray so the stuff won't stick. And the apple slices I've just taken and laid into the casserole or the cake dish. Now, to this, we're going to take 1 cup of flour, 1 cup of sugar, and 1 stick of softened butter. Mix it all together. And I've also added about a teaspoon of cinnamon to this just for my taste. Now, you can use, if you have a mixer with the pastry knives on it or whatever, you can use that to mix this up with. But when you get this mixture all mixed up together, it's going to end up being pretty lumpy. It's not going to be a real smooth batter.
Mm-hmm.
After you get to that point, you just simply take it, put it over the top of your apple, pop it in the oven, and bake it for about 25 to 30 minutes. And that's all there is.
And that's all there is to that little dessert.
That is it. Quick, easy, simple, and it'll get you in trouble with your wife.
Why? Why would it get you in trouble with
her carbs, you know?
She's watching her carbs?
One of her weaknesses. She's not really on the carb diet, you know, but we just kind of started watching, like, the potatoes and the rice and the breads and things like that.
Yeah.
So the last time I made this little apple crisp, we came in after being out with our friends, and we pretty much devoured the whole thing. It wasn't good timing for that.
Hmm. Yeah.
But as you mix this up, now if you're a diabetic, you can substitute Splenda for this instead of the sugar.
Uh-huh, you could.
And it'll come out just as good.
Well, that might be stretching it
a bit.
Well,
no, we don't want to lie to them.
If you put them side by side, you might know the difference. But,
yeah.
You know, you know, what the heck. It's going to be good. Of course, we've got a great new restaurant in Lufkin, Texas, and it's really funny because the menu, the bottom of the menu at this restaurant says, in Louisiana, New Orleans, Baton Rouge, Ruston, and Shreveport. In Texas, Lufkin. Coming soon to Houston and Dallas.
Wow.
Ah. And it's called Ralph and Cacuz. And the only location in Texas is in Lufkin. Is that amazing or what?
That idea.
Boy, they're going to be building a motel right next to that restaurant soon.
We do what now?
They'll build a motel there soon. They're going to be coming to Lufkin.
They probably will.
Yeah, probably.
But they're supposed to open locations coming to Houston and Dallas, but already in Lufkin. That doesn't happen.
Now, that's odd, isn't it?
That doesn't happen too often. Well, their home base is here. A company that's here.
You guys are fixing to be a sprawling metropolis.
Well, it used to be Texas Smokehouse Foods. I think they call it Texas Signature Foods. Now, bought the Ralph and Cacuz chain. And so there was one in New Orleans. I've eaten at that in Shreveport also. But they built one in Lufkin, so they've...
Great seafood.
It is really great. It's expensive, but it's, oh, man, it's the best Cajun food in the world.
It'll do it, huh?
Oh, man.
How about the
ready to be spread out on top of our apple. Mm-hmm. Let me wash my hands off here because I've had my fingers in here kneading it, mixing it all together. It's the only way to do it.
That's the only way to do it if you can't see.
And, hey, I will let everybody know, too, I just got off the phone this morning with Ken Robertson. Ken Rogers is his name. He's the president of the Minnesota chapter of the ACB.
Uh-huh.
And we're going to be working with them at Blind Mice to do a little fundraiser. We hope to help them earn enough money to buy a Braille embosser. What we've set up on Blind Mice Mart, if you want to help contribute to their cause, it won't cost you anything. All you got to do when you shop is when you check out, enter the coupon code ACBM for American Council of the Blind Minnesota. That's ACBM in capital letters.
Mm-hmm.
And 15% of your purchase will be donated to their cause. And
you'll
get a 1% discount just for going to the trouble of typing those four little letters in there.
ACBM. All right.
But it's one little way that Blind Mice will help everybody help themselves to make the world a little bit better tomorrow.
Do you want to mention the essay contest while we're here?
Yeah. As a matter of fact, Friday the 26th, second will be the closing of the Mouthful Scholarship Essay Contest.
So that's about it. You really couldn't get one in, could you?
Yeah, because we accept them electronically. So as long as they get them sent to me before midnight on the 22nd, we'll accept it and send it to our judges and get it scored.
Now, this is for high school students only?
This is for high school seniors that will be graduating and going on to college. And it's open to visually impaired students. And also students that have visually impaired parents.
Okay. So if you've written an essay and you'd like to enter, all you got to do is send it to us.
Just send it to, you can send it to scholarships@blindmicemart.com or to info@blindmicemart.com. Or, heck, just go to, if you just go to blindmicemart.com, click on the Mouthful Scholarship site or link there, and it'll have all the information. It'll give you the topic that you need to write your essay about. It'll have the different rules and what we ask. We also ask that a reference letter from a teacher, a counselor, somebody, accompany that as well. And hey, we've gotten some good ones so far. It's one of those things, you know, the dream is to be able to give a scholarship to every kid that applies.
That'd
and
be
after
nice.
Reading the essays we've got this year, man, that's
excellent.
It's a heartbreaker not to be able to, you know, to have to pick the top three.
Is that right?
But we've had some good ones.
Sure
so
have.
That's going to be that's great. And then you know all purchases of Blind Mice, no matter what they are, they all go to benefit the scholarship fund.
All right.
It's all about helping. I figure it's kind of a selfish thing for me because I figure the more blind kids that we can get educated and get through school and get out into mainstream society, the more that the sighted public is going to recognize the need to help provide accommodation for us, be it an audible signal, be it a little more training for their
yep.
employees, whatever.
All right, but, we got it. You got everything in the oven going?
Everything is going.
So we have no, we have nothing else to do, right?
I think we're done.
All right, well,
you guys need to. Hey, Patterson, you got your license yet?
For the scooter?
For your, weren't you trying to get an optical license, driver's license?
Actually, yeah.
Bioptic driving.
Bioptic driving, except I actually have an optometrist here who wrote me up a good letter, and I really don't need the bioptics.
All right.
But I have not taken my driving test. I'm actually trying to find a location that suits me. Well, Lufkin, actually, you can take them anywhere in the state of Texas. And Lufkin, though, forces you to get on the loop, on the freeway.
Oh, no.
And I'm cool with that. I could handle that, except one place where you're coming up on the right. But you're, anyway, I never ride on the freeway or the loop, and I just choose not to take my test. I think actually Livingston is going to be the place. I scouted
right.
it out the other day.
Well, do you
day.
Have a learner's permit?
No, I have a moped license right
okay.
now.
I was going to say, if he had a learner's permit or his license, man, y'all pile in the van and come on down. This will be ready in about an hour.
Oh, oh well, no, actually, we'll probably pass
well, we've
on
got,
that.
We've got Tom here who drives.
We have Tom who drives, but...
But we're not, we can't, not today. In fact, we could come, but we probably wouldn't pass the alcohol limit.
That would be the problem.
That would be the big problem.
Yeah, see? Dang it, I thought you were designated driver. No, I thought you were.
No, I thought you were. I thought you were driving. Yeah.
That is excellent. Yeah, I tell you, you want to review the recipes we did real quick?
Why don't we do that right quick? We're about out of time, getting kind of close to the end.
Then I don't know if we have any email left or not, but... What we did today was chicken cordon bleu, and it is a diabetic-friendly recipe. And for that, basically, we just took four boneless, skinless chicken breasts and four slices of ham, four slices of mozzarella cheese. And the chicken breasts you want to kind of pound flat or pound down to about a quarter inch thick.
Mm-hmm.
Then put your ham and cheese on top of that, roll it up into a nice log, and then stick it with a toothpick. Kind of hold it in place if you need to. Then you want to roll this in some breadcrumbs. Then dip it in an egg and milk solution that's like roughly two eggs and about a quarter cup of milk, all whipped and beat up together.
Mm-hmm.
And then after you dip the chicken in that, put it back in the roll it back in the breadcrumbs, and then put it on a cookie sheet that you've put, the best thing to do is put some foil on it and then cover that with a little bit of olive oil, about a quarter cup, a couple teaspoons, tablespoons, something like that, just enough so that you get a nice coating
mm-hmm.
of oil on the foil. And then bake that in the oven at 350 degrees for about 40 to 50 minutes until the chicken is done. To accompany that, we also have done a vegetable casserole, which is nothing more than three bags of frozen vegetables. I bought the one-pound bags. If your store has them, you can also get the 10-ounce size bags, which works great. These were broccoli florets, cauliflower, and sliced carrots. And to that, we added about 10 ounces, roughly, of grated cheese. Stir that all up. Put it in a greased cookie sheet a cake pan.
Yeah.
Add a can of chicken broth to it and bake it for about 50 minutes in about a 350-degree oven as well. So basically, your vegetables and your chicken will come out done about the same time. The apple crisp was nothing more than five or six apples. Jonathan or Granny Smith's are recommended just because they're a little tarter. They're a little better for baking.
Mm-hmm.
You want to core and slice those, peel them up, put them in a cake pan. And then over the top of this, you want to take a cup of flour, a cup of sugar, and one stick of butter, softened. Mix that all up together. And when the mixture will kind of become crumbly. It won't be a real fine mixture. Sprinkle that out over the top of the apple, and bake it for about 25 or 30 minutes I believe the recipe calls for a 325-degree oven, but what you can do, in fact, is slide that in once you take your chicken and your vegetable casserole out and reduce the heat, and then about 30 minutes when you're done eating, that thing will come out just aching to have some ice cream put on top of it.
I would think so.
Really?
Yeah, one thing I did to the apple crisp for our own taste, I added about a teaspoon of cinnamon. That's something you can do if you want to add apple pie spice. Knock yourself out. You know,
cinnamon would be good.
Nice. Cinnamon would be great.
Cinnamon would be would be my choice.
Yeah.
But so you'll have supper ready when Candace gets home.
Flavor to it.
When Candace gets home.
For an appetizer, we did stuffed mushrooms.
I'm mad.
For this, I bought large white mushrooms.
Uh huh.
These are about 2.5-3 inches in diameter. I took the stems out. And then chopped the stems down, and along with that, I took about a half a white onion, diced that all up nice and small, and sautéed that in some sausage grease that I got from cooking up some breakfast sausage previously. And like the breakfast sausage, took it out, put it in the fridge. It'll be good for breakfast tomorrow or the next day. To the onions and the mushroom stems, we added popcorn shrimp, or salad shrimp as they're called in the store. You can add crab meat to this. You can add nothing to it. You could leave the sausage and use that. Just however you want to fix it up, do it. And then we added breadcrumbs to this. Cornbread stuffing is what it was. To the point of where it's a nice moist. You want it fairly moist. You don't want it real dry. And then if you need to, add chicken broth to increase the moisture content. Because when they bake, they will kind of dry out.
Uh-huh.
You want enough stuffing. I can't tell you. I ended up today using about 2.5, almost 3 cups of breadcrumbs.
I've got a can of Cheese Whiz and a roll of Ritz crackers in the house. I'm fixing to go. All right. We're
hungry.
I'll be thinking about you when I munch on one of these mushrooms here.
Yeah.
Theme is running, sir. We're out of time, and we'll see you next time. Cooking in the Dark at, give us your at my email address right quick.
Cooking in the Dark. It's cookinginthedark-subscribe@acbradio.org. Or come to Blind My Smart, www.blindmysmart.com, and click on the Cooking in the Dark link. We've got links to all the old archive shows there, and recipes from this month's show will be on the site.
That'll do it.
Come and shop. Remember, ACBM, all capital letters. Let's help Minnesota, the Chamber of the Council up there, get their Braille Ambassador.
We got to go. Thanks, Dale Campbell.
Y'all have a great day.
We'll
bye
talk
y'all.
With you.
See
Don,
you, Dale.
Don Patterson, Don Shaw, Tom Houston, gentlemen.
Yeah.
See you next week.
All right.
With another little blind handyman show. I'm Phil Parr. I see, said the blind man as he picked up his hammer and saw.
The Blind Handyman is produced by Out of Market Productions, 1604 Southwood Drive, Lufkin, Texas. Phone 936-634-9500.